Ready, Wheezy?
Yep.
So, it's Christmas time. And I wanted to share the perfect story of a Christmas song. Since Christmas is a holiday of togetherness and joy, I had originally chosen the song Silent Night. The legend of how Silent Night came to be has a priest composing the song in the early 17th century for the children's choir of a small Austrian hamlet. Unfortunately, the pipe organ they'd planned on using had broken, and the children were forced to sing with only the accompaniment of a guitar. But, with determination, enraptured by Christmas spirit, the children gave a flawless performance. Their angelic voices heard three towns away while the Star of Bethlehem glimmered in the night sky. Silent Night would thenceforth resonate in the ears of all who felt holiday joy. But I knew that wasn't the right story. Not for this year. I figured since Christmas is about triumph and overcoming odds, I entertained the thought of telling the story of White Christmas. That's the one. White Christmas was written by Irving Berlin in 1941, performed by Bing Crosby for the movie Holiday Inn. Bing didn't care much for the song, neither did anyone else at first. But with World War II in full swing and many homesick GIs abroad, Armed Forces Radio placed the song in steady rotation around Christmas time.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
When Johnny came marching home, he brought the love of the song with him, sparking a phenomenon which eventually led to sales of 50 million singles, making this the most successful pop song of all time. Well, sales-wise. But then I thought, even the most popular song ever is not good enough for a Christmas this special.
Why is this year so special?
It just is, Wheezy. And I figured a sensational holiday deserves a sensational story. The origin of the song The 12 Days of Christmas was largely unknown until 1982, when Hal Stockert, a Byzantine priest from upstate New York, wrote an article for a Catholic publication titled The 12 Days of Christmas, an Underground Catechism. Wheezy, do you know what the word catechism is?
No.
Yeah, why would you? I actually had to look it up myself. Webster's defines a catechism as a manual giving basic instruction in a subject, usually by rote or repetition. Between the years of 1558 and 1829, British Parliament banned all practice of Catholicism. Catholics throughout the kingdom were hunted down. Churches were burned. Possession of a Holy Bible or a rosary could result in imprisonment, torture, even execution.
Wow.
According to Father Stockert's article, it was because Catholics were forced to worship underground during this period that the Catechism of 12 Days of Christmas was necessary to help preserve the Catholic faith. Basically, the 12 Days of Christmas was an encoded mnemonic device designed to help the children of persecuted Catholics remember the tenets of their parents' religion. Through Stockert's interviews and correspondences he'd come across between Jesuit priests, he'd found that each gift symbolized one of the following.
12 drummers drumming.
Equal the 12 points of doctrine in the Apostles' Creed.
11 pipers piping.
Were designated for each of the 11 faithful apostles.
10 lords a-leaping.
Symbolized the 10 commandments.
9 ladies dancing.
Were to represent the 9 fruits of the Holy Spirit.
Maids of milking
were the 8 beatitudes, whatever beatitudes are.
7 swans are swimming
were the 7 gifts of the Holy Spirit, or the 7 sacraments.
6 geese are laying
were reserved for the 6 days of creation.
5
symbolize the first five books of the Old Testament.
Four calling birds
represented the four Gospels, or the four evangelists.
Three French hens
were faith, hope, and charity, the three virtues.
Two turtle doves
were the Old and New Testaments.
And a partridge in a pear tree
represented none other than Jesus Christ himself. Father Stockert's article about the song's true meaning was referenced in many articles to come. It was kind of groundbreaking. When the internet became a thing, around 95 or so, this article made the rounds on Catholic message boards and email forward lists as a reminder to honor the true reason for the Christmas season. It showed up in pamphlets and magazines, and it was incorporated into far too many Christmas sermons to count.
To get around the government control, the ingenious English people who refused to support the state church developed a creative way to teach the children biblical beliefs from the Word of God. And as you know, people
were not permitted to practice their faith openly. Someone during that era wrote this carol as a catechism song for young Catholics. It has two levels of meaning, the surface meaning plus a hidden meaning.
No. About that song, it was written in the 16th century. And the reason it was written was to help Catholic children remember the different articles of faith. The true love in the song represented God. And the partridge in the pear tree.
Wow, what an amazing story. People sharing their faith and culture cleverly disguised in a children's holiday carol. The fact that we've been unwittingly singing the liberation song of oppressed Catholics all these years. Incredible.
Yeah.
Problem is that this story is complete horseshit. The email forwards that were circulating often altered the facts in Father Stockert's article to support the theme of other articles or sermons. One rendition even claimed that it was the Catholic persecution of Anglicans which spurred the creation of the encrypted song. Sometimes the place and time would be switched to encompass all Christians, not just Catholics. One variation of this story that's common in popular Christian literature can be traced directly to an email forward from a Christian news group. It says that the song was created in 1645, the year Oliver Cromwell banned Christmas rituals, including songs proclaiming them pagan in origin. The fact that this last piece of misinfo about Cromwell is often incorporated into many of these sermons about the song is proof that some of these priests, preachers, deacons, or whatever are using email forwards as their sole source of information. So, this lie, based on lies, is now being delivered from pulpits across the country as fact. Not that anyone would notice. But it wasn't only internet bulletin boards and email group lists spreading misinformation. Father Stockert's original article was itself a fabrication. Stockert based this idea on an article titled How to Decode the 12 Days of Christmas, originally written in 1979 by a Canadian English teacher named Hugh McKellar, who admits that his source of information was hearsay from elder members of his church and not based on any fact or evidence. One important thing to know is that the Bible that English Catholics were using at the time, the Douay Rheims Bible, and the Bible used by the Church of England, the King James Bible, were both written in the same language, English. They had very few differences at that point in history, so there was no need to hide the naming of or learning of the Bible's characters and books. They were the same in both languages. Still, Father Stockert clung tightly to his claim. He was asked to prove his catechism explanation by showing the original research. He claimed that that was impossible since it was on a floppy disk too old to be read by new computers. When asked to provide evidence as far as some of these correspondences between the Jesuit priests, He claimed that all of the documents had been destroyed in a flood in the church's basement.
Convenient.
Yeah. Anyway, a likelier explanation to the origin of the 12 Days of Christmas is provided in the book The New Oxford Book of Carols, which found that the song's first known publication didn't come until the 1780s. It wasn't copyrighted until 1909, and is technically still under copyright today. Though Father Stockard's version may be pure propaganda, Christmas is itself a holiday whose meaning has been reappropriated a countless number of times. So, like I said, a sensational holiday deserves a sensational story.
Merry Christmas!